Hello, I'm Sean, and I'm a podcaster. I've been podcasting since I remember I got started. Yeah, some guy showed me how easy it was to make an audiobook on LibriVox, and I started doing these audiobooks, and before I knew it, I was hooked. And but it's not too bad. I can quit any time I want. I'm going to show you guys. I actually have an outline and things to say, but sitting here in this room, I'm Sean McGahey. I could tell you I've done stuff for LibriVox. I've done PodCamp Toronto podcast for a number of years. I have a primary show I do called For the Sake of the Song, which is a where I sit down and chat with other songwriters. I do a community podcast called The Catholic Roundup, or at least I used to. Keep trying to find the picture. Oh, they're both the same. No, I'm clicking on back and forth between the same picture. That's about me. I was going to show you this one too. Because there's this guy who had a podcast and he decided to stop. He did 50 episodes of it and said, "That's enough." And I actually read the blog post last night, Bob, and on bobgoyetch.com about why you started Mostly Tunes. And it was an FU to an organization that was telling people how to do a music podcast. And you did it for 3 or 4 years. And the thing that impresses the heck out of me is you actually killed it. You said, "I've done what I need to do with this. This is why I did it. It's been fun. Thanks for all the fish." Because what's troubled me for half a decade now is that for podcasting, it's so easy to start and set up, and there's dozens of sessions about that here today. How'd you get started? How'd you podcast? But once you're rolling, and we're sitting in a room with at least 3/4 of this room has produced 100 episodes of a podcast, Podcast 100 Club. So easy, but when's it time to stop? When's it time to say, "Well done, I've done it, I've done everything I wanted to do"? And what I saw in LibriVox with the LibriVox community podcast when I got involved, I didn't start up the LibriVox community podcast. It was a guy named Jim Mowat. And he posted on the LibriVox forums and said, "We're getting big enough. We need something to energize the community." And I was all over it. I'd done a couple of audiobook chapters, but the community aspect of it was just my cup of tea. And at that time, that was early 2005, mid-2005, 2006 sometime, I'd been listening regularly to the Canadian Podcast Buffet, and I knew what I wanted with the LibriVox community podcast, and we went right in. And for a couple of years, there were 4 or 5 of us regularly hosting it, trading off. Jim was doing it. One day, all of a sudden, Jim disappeared from LibriVox. There was no notice, no nothing. So people said, "Oh, is he all right?" And so, "Oh yeah, he's on the online game that we play every day. He's fine." And it seems that you invest all this energy and all this passion into podcasting, and one day it's like flipping a switch. And people don't even post, "Thanks for all the fish." They're just gone. And that's not a bad thing. You know, life moves in. I've been talking with people about this talk all morning, and people say, "You know what? Got a life." I've had a number of ways that I've been dealing with this. When do you know it's time? First of all, and most importantly, if you decide to start a podcast, go for it. Try any idea you like. It's not a life sentence. Do it as long as it's doing something for you, especially with amateur podcasting. We're doing it for the love of it. If you don't love it, don't do it. It's simple. But there's so many other facets of it that we can dig into. My For the Sake of the Song podcast, which I do where I introduce other songwriters. I sit down with other songwriters I chat with them. I want about 45 minutes with them because we do a long conversation. We play a few songs. We tell a few lies. We tell a few stories. And we get geeky about songwriting. That's what it's about. It takes that time. But I'll tell you, it takes hours. Last Friday, I went to see, went to a concert of a songwriter I really respect and set it up ahead of time. Tell you what, we'll come at 5 p.m. before the sound check. We'll do a half an hour. It'll be good. Bugger didn't show up until 6:30. No interview. Happens all the time. Lowers the fun quotient considerably for Sean. And his wife and daughter who are in the back of the van, too. So what I mostly do is for the sake of the song now, except when I get an itch to do one in the middle of the winter, is when we're at festivals in the summertime, I work like heck. I do these interviews. I do about a dozen a year. That's my season, one a month. This year, by August 31st, I was done. Edited, uploaded, recorded in WordPress on the first of the month, I do nothing. There's a show. My little secret is that I pod fade for 10 months of the year. Now, we can have all sorts of other discussions about what does it mean to pod fade. How do you reinvigorate your podcast? You can reinvent yourself. You can reinvent your show. You can focus on a new aspect of what you do. Bringing a co-host is always a good thing. I know you guys had good luck with that. Starting a whole new show with a different partner. So I'm going to open it up now because it's in the room. There's enough pod faders in this room to compose an expert panel. I know a lot of these guys. but what can we do? And I've got one more thing I'll just show before we... I asked a bunch of these questions on Twitter this morning or last night. And Mark came up with several answers.
Mark Blevis,
yes. Just one more book, Canadian Podcast Buffet, Electric Sky, historical Canadian podcast. And one of the questions I asked was, well, how do you avoid pod fade? His answer, avoid? How do you gracefully close, when do you know it's time to close a show? And he says, with the exception of Just One More Book, he didn't. He still considers himself actively producing shows that he hasn't produced for a year. And that's cool. It's really exciting when you go, you get something in a feed. Dave was talking about it today. There's a new show?
Yeah.
You haven't seen for a year? And the thing that's been really exciting me is, you know what? In 5 years of doing 3 or 4 different podcasts, I've learned a lot of skills which I carry into my daily life, which I carry into my classroom, my elementary classroom. It's just another form of communication. All these things that I would do as a special education teacher that just bring my podcasting world into it. The most important podcast I've recorded in the last months, I won't share it with you right now, but my daughter worked her cans off and wrote an amazing speech, How to Escape a Horror Movie. And she presented it in front of her school, and the night before she presented it in front of the whole school, I got all the gear out. The good mics, the really good mics. And I put a bed, I used Night on Bald Mountain because it was about a horror movie. So what else would you put behind as a bad track behind it? And that went to Grandma. I don't need to post it in the feed. That's my audience. My mother got to hear her granddaughter do her speech that she did all by herself, and it rocked. That's all. Every day I use these skills in different ways. I don't have the need to do the long-form narrative and the long-form storytelling and the weekly episodic shows. Right now, in a nanosecond, I fire up the feed, I put another show in it, and we're rolling. But for right now, that's where I'm at. I'd love to hear some reflections about how you keep it fresh, about how you mix it up, about what you're doing now. I'm going to open it up. Ken.
It might be a slightly different topic, and it's okay if you want to deal with this later, but it's related. We talk about our own podcasts, and when it's time to stop, you just stop because it's your own creation. You do it, but there's some podcasts, and people are disappointed. You have a favorite, and they just stop doing it. You like the show, for example, mostly too. If you're kind of sad, and you wish the guy would get back to it, but you understand, hey, that's your choice. But there are some podcasts, like, for example, Canadian podcast Buffet, which went beyond the individuals involved who are putting it out and serve the community. It was very important for Canadian podcasting within this community at large, amateur podcasts in particular. And people really felt a need to hear this show. This is how we connected. This is how we all felt part of this tribe, this group. It was a very, very wonderful thing. So when a show like that goes down, fades, there's a loss, not just to the individuals, but to the community as a whole. And it's kind of a different issue. It's almost, I had this conversation with Bob last night, so he knows where I'm coming from. There's a loss, and there's almost a sense of you want to tell the people that, hey, you guys, there's an obligation here. It's not just you. It's almost not just your choice. And we know that's wrong. You can't tell somebody they have to. But I think it raises the issue of, here's something that's really important to so many people, and I think that's a prime example because it is. What do we do as a community to say, this thing has to live on? We need it still. What kind of pressure can you apply to people? What can you say? Maybe there's people in the room here who might be able to help out. How do we bring a podcast back to life? I guess that's what I'm getting
at. Well, I've got lots of thoughts on that, and I'd like to hear from several other people, too. One is the example of Inside Home Recording is really cool. Because they've had so many hosts, and even Derek passed away. But before he passed away, he passed the torch. Yeah. He groomed a host, and so that's a neat example. I spent 4 years and I'm well connected in the Catholic podcasting community. I spent 4 years trying to be the Catholic podcast buffet. Honestly, the community didn't need it. There's so many other things happening and so many wonderful things. Right now, what I'm doing most predominantly for promoting Catholic podcasts is I do a one-minute segment, sometimes five-minute segment, but I do a blurb on another show on Catholic Weekend, and I do some guest spots on a couple other shows, and that's enough just to connect the dots, and I'm still available when people send me tweets and say, help me set up my RSS feed, help me. I'm still doing that. I just don't feel compelled to do a show. Also, yes, our community really valued something like the Canadian Podcast Buffet, but it exists. There are people filling the same niche.
Just hasn't been exactly a torch passing we've been aware of yet. That's what we're waiting for.
Yeah, but
maybe this is the time.
Yeah,
don't point to us. No, tried to do that.
Yeah, but you have done that for a great deal of time. With the Cast Roller podcast has filled some of that need. And actually, Bob, if you don't mind, do you wanna add your two cents to that?
Well, there was, having killed and podfaded, for me, the mostly tune story. I did 51 episodes in 4 years, 5 years, and which isn't much. You start, you have a higher frequency, and then as you tail off. But what happened is, even if I wasn't putting out a show, it was in my head. And it was that pressure, oh, no, I haven't put out a show. And I feel it now about Buffet. I feel about all the other shows that I haven't killed, that I'm not actively doing right now. And so that one, it was like, you know what? It's in my head. And it's like if you're renovating your house and you have that one piece of molding that you never put, I'll get to it later, and you never do, but you see it every day, and the toll it takes on your person and your being. Well, that's what mostly tools would become to me. It was always this thing I had on my to-do list that I was never checking off. So I said, fuck you. I killed it. And it was glorious. I did a last show, I enjoyed doing it, I had a lot of fun, and it was just, I got great feedback about it and stuff. And all of a sudden, it was like Spinal Tap. I envy me. I'm free now. You know, and the other shows, though, where there's no active decision, like for example, Buffet, we never thought a Buffet break would last this long. It was supposed to be a few weeks while we were both busy. And I think there is still that volition to try to do something. But the thing is that, you know, you wait a week. Next thing you know, we haven't done one in 3 months now.
But
so it's like, it's a handoff is a great thing. And I think if you have the ability to have foresight to say, well, listen, you know, we're trailing off. Let's actively do something to like a Derek Miller situation, hand it off or do something like that. That's great. But I think what happens is pod fading sneaks up on you.
And that's,
you're not doing anything.
One thing I'm thinking of a handoff is the problem with it, and it is that you have, if you hand it off, you're giving that worry to someone else, that necessity, that feeling that you have to put out a show about a certain thing, and that can be, I don't know, I think I would have trouble going to someone and saying, here, you take up this responsibility I gave myself. That really isn't a responsibility per se, but it feels like one.
But is there a difference? Because your show was so personality driven, always. Is there a difference between a community based or a subject based?
I don't know. It still theme feels like podcast. Pushing your work onto.
You have to choose the right people.
I think someone would have to ask to take the.
I think there are probably people in this room who might be willing to.
You don't have that in TV, right? It's not like when the Seinfeld run ended, the last episode of Seinfeld wasn't him saying, well, you guys should all watch two whatever and an asshole.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they didn't have the show off. Well, we're gone, but Tuesdays at 8, watch this. No, it got replaced in people's minds by something else, something new. So I don't know if a handoff is even the right thing. It's like, when we started Buffet, there was nobody doing it. There was nobody doing a Canadian podcasting community podcast. So we saw a need, we perceived need, or at least we saw a void, and we did it. And what it says to me, the fact that we haven't done it now in months, and there's, and the Castro guys are doing something similar, but not, you know, it's not a competition thing, it's just, well, part of the community. If there was such a void, and I understand what you're saying, Ken, but if there was such a void, there'd be 5 Buffet-like shows out now. Like there was in the early days of podcasting. There was, you know, in 2004, there were 100 podcasts. 98 of them were about the other two podcasts. And it was inside baseball, and that's what it was. But there was a need. So there's all these podcasts about podcasting. And now, is there that much of a need? Because it's not happening.
Well, and it's been so long now, but I'm sure that the community's fragmented into its own like little sub-communities. There's a music community. There's a Toronto podcast to listen to called like Comedy Above the Pub. It's interviews with comedians. They have their own community and they have their own focus. I should have told them about PodCamp, but I don't think
it was always that. It wasn't the volume of podcasts there is now.
Yeah, and now, but that's what I mean. Like, there's such a volume, it's difficult to cover off.
Like, in my mind, I mean, it always boggled my mind how you could keep up with, like, keeping up the directory when people are submitting podcasts and things and you know, playing those demos or, you know, the clips or whatever. But with the CPB, like, maybe, dare I say it, but maybe if it's something that's becoming, like, a real burden, a time suck to do, it's just something that's really hard, is there, like, dare I say it, but isn't there a way to maybe make it a business where, and not, it's a community thing, but I mean, I'd be willing to pay, I don't know, $5 a month or $10 a month or whatever
not
to subscribe to that. But then that
I'm
money.
Sure I'm not the only one that emailed you.
But then that money could be used
about
to hire.
Production.
Well, that money could be used to like hire an intern to edit the listings,
right?
I don't
think we need to do that. We've got enough people. I mean, I've emailed them and said, okay, what's it going to take to get it on? I'll edit a bunch of shows. If there's enough people with enough skills that. I mean, it's really.
But,
I think part of it is that nobody else wants to step up and do it. And we, like I say, like we do something kind of like that, but we don't want to. We never intended to take over that or be anything like it. We just realistically we started as just kind of a way to promote Castroller. But I think part of it, the reason why the void hasn't been filled yet, is because all of us are sitting here waiting for you guys to start doing it again. Nobody wants to. Nobody wants to step on toes or anything. I think it's part of it. But like I said, there's enough people in the community. I think that. I mean, if one of you guys can do a show every once in a while, or every once in a while get both of you. I said this to Marco last night. I said the cool thing with this culture, when they took it from it being just Anthony and Marco, or Anthony and Mike, all of a sudden they added a third guy and a fourth guy and a fifth guy because Mike kept not showing up. And I emailed him way back when it was just the two of them because he said, like, there's no show because Mike couldn't do it. I said to him, this is like, dude, you need somebody to sit in on a show. I'm like, give me a holler and I'll do it. And then they kind of went off and found all these other hosts and everything. And that's the thing. Like, we did with the Geek Runner podcast, when we started that, I'm like, it was Will and I were doing the Castro podcast. We're like, well, we're doing a lot of talk about running on the Castro podcast. We're like, well, we should do this on a show. Well, we had this other project that we worked on, this blog with a couple other guys that were blogging there. And I'm like, can you guys commit to doing, like, a show every 6 weeks? Like, is it possible? And that's what we just kind of said. Well, Will and I are doing the Castro thing. We're kind of a couple years into the schedule of every other Monday doing it. Whoever else can join us to do, so we just record right after that. We go into recording the other show, and it's whoever else can sit down. So we've kind of expanded it to be, now there's kind of four of us, and the other time we have some guests or something like that. So sometimes it's just Will and I. Sometimes it's, you know, two, you know, sometimes there's two people. Sometimes it's all four of us. Sometimes it's three of the four.
And there's two of the sessions, two of the suggestions that I wrote down last night. Reinvent and bring in fresh blood.
As I say, if you guys can...
I would love to see... First of all, and I was telling Kevin this yesterday, it pains me to see Buffet Idol, because I dig it. I dig doing it. I dig the fact that it, you know, by default became a rallying point for us as a community. We, you know, we live beside the most media-producing country on the planet, and for us to carve out this little space of Canadianism, it appeals to me in a, you know, in a huge way. And we you know, to your point, we asked people to do hosts. You know, Ken's hosted a couple of times, and Rick Claus, and, you know, like we. But it always felt like, hey, can you help us out and do, you know, like, if instead of bringing people on to replace us, to your point, Bill, if it became, instead of me and Mark thing, if it became these six, eight people thing, then it becomes management. And I think, and then... Then it can keep going. That would be. I'm very open to that.
So you've touched on the problem. What? Why you're not doing it
right now? Yeah. It's a time. It's a time factor. So Mark and I hit like the end of last year. Mark and I hit both of us in our careers incredibly busy times.
Yeah.
And you know, Mark's starting his own business and he's very busy and he's billing as much as he can.
And it's tough to get back into it after you've done that. Even when things slow down, it doesn't seem like they slow down. And now it's,
well, that's it. Like, you know,
it's like I say with all the running that I do now. It's like all of a sudden when I don't, I'm like, holy shit, where did all this time come from? And before everybody goes, I don't have enough time to do that.
Yeah, and, you know,
I'll
and
tell
you.
Just, you
know, if you want to do it, you find the time for it.
Time, right?
Now, I'm at a stage in my life where if I'm given the option, I've got an hour and a half, I could podcast or I can go shoot 18 holes of frisbee golf with my daughter. We're out in the park.
Yeah.
Like, and that's valid. But several things. Bob, you said several things that I want to come back to. Podfading sneaks up on you. It's not something that we intend. It just all of a sudden one day we wake up and say, that's enough. It's so much enough, I'm not even going to tweet that's enough. This is a phenomenon we see. Second of all, the feeling of obligation. I don't think we need to. And I think the closure part of it is, however, I'm going to reinvent, I'm going to take a break, whatever. That's what I've done with Catholic Roundup, is when I would usually... on the first day of Advent, launch our, we're going daily for Advent, and I've got guest bloggers for the next 40 days. I said, guys, work's busy, family's busy, I'm taking a break. I don't know when I'll be back. I want to be back. I'll let you know. And that was all. And I needed, until I wrote that blog post, it was in the back of my mind. I got to do a show. No. I'm going to go play frisbee golf with my daughter because she's only 11 once.
But that's
and
it.
And she's got a wicked arm.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. The other thing we've seen, like podcasting 6 years ago, we thought it was going to be a phenomenon. We thought it was going to be a thing. It's really normalized. Now somebody, if they've got a talk like this, they record it. and put it up on YouTube, and that's it. It's normalized. We don't need a thing or a show, or unless we have a need to form community or to tell longer stories or to explore something in depth. It's like the serial podcast is just one way that we can use the media.
I think on that point of community, the thing that shocks me, we do our live podcast tonight here, and very often we'll get people who have no connection, no awareness, never heard of Mark and Bob, which just shocks me. You're Canadian, you don't know these guys. But a lot of people are out there who don't know there are others doing the same thing. And that's why something like this community-based Canada Podcast Buffet serves that purpose. Say, hey, you guys, you know, you can join, you can influence, you can hear each other's. And there's an awful lot of people, as you say, that it's grown, but not connected in any way at all. And I guess there's a part of me that the thing that surprised me about this wonderful thing, something you recognized early on, is the fact that there is a community that goes with this amateur podcasting. And somehow, I think we have to keep that idea alive, and it takes a show like Canada Podcast Buffet or something like that to keep it afloat and to get people to understand.
And maybe that's it. If you guys don't have the time to do it, then maybe, I mean, it does sound like a feasible thing of, like, handing it off to some new blood. And whether it's you guys or whoever.
We do pretty low overhead with both Castro and Geek Corner. I mean, it's for the other guys. It's as much as they got to, I mean, collect a couple of links and whenever you see something. I mean, we're all reading way too much crap online anyways. But and then it's a lot of times showing up and you use this stupid little Piezo app that just records your audio and you just dumps it into a Dropbox folder that syncs. So you don't even upload anything. You just save it on your computer and I get the files the next morning and do all the editing and be done. I mean, it can be that easy. And I'm sure there's more than enough people that would be interested in editing a show every month.
Because one thing
get 12 people.
I'd love to see, like,
it's your turn this month. Like,
I'd love to see on that sort of, and whether it's a different version of or a different host or whatever, or whether it's a different podcast altogether. You know, I think a good part of that would be the forums. It would, like, have a really vibrant community forums so that people can meet each other.
And we know all know how.
And it's hard to manage that shit.
Yeah,
you can have
a forum and then it's dead. You know, like.
Because there was a forum, right?
No, like, my comment or your comment sections often are dead, and everyone's just talking to each other on Twitter and Facebook and all those places. Like, the conversation's happening
But that's because the community is already now advanced to the point where everybody knows each other and we can talk offline or whatever. But the point of the show is to keep the community together, but also allow, as Ken said, like, allow others to learn about podcasting. Because, I mean, we talked it was a while ago. I was like, do you have an episode, like a back archived episode of How to Start a Podcast? And there wasn't one. I mean, or you couldn't find one or whatever. Remember, it was a while back. But I was like, because somebody, I was talking to someone.
He did a whole 2 days.
Well, no, I remember that. I was here for that. Yeah. No, but I was just saying, like, it would be good to have that kind of stuff for, like, new people that are just getting started, you know. And I think, like, a community hub or.
I just had kind of a thought, and because of pod fading, could it be that, like, something is difficult and you don't recognize that it's difficult? Like, maybe you're doing your show and there's something hard, like, I don't know, maybe calling people is hard, or emailing them, or organizing the links, or something. And if you get rid of that one hard thing, then you suddenly can go back to it. Could that be, like, for example, with me, I do a cello podcast, and I kind of stop for a while. And I came to the conclusion I need a better cello. It takes too much time to prepare an episode. If I had a better cello, I could do it faster. It's just easier to play. So it's like, could that be something? Like,
I think you're right, though. Like the
pain points.
Spreading the pain points. You know, like if one person has to do 10 things, that's pretty daunting or painful. And then, but if 10 people each have to do one thing, it's magical. Right?
There's a Catholic podcast that I didn't know about them until they were on episode about 98. So I made a big fuss over their hundreds. It's called The David and Craig Show. And they were full-time youth ministers, and that's what their show was about. Well, they both moved on to different jobs and carried on the show. About show 70 or so, they both found their family lives and their work lives very difficult. They got a third guy in who's their volunteer producer and has been doing it now for 70 shows. Well, when they both moved on from their full-time youth ministry jobs to other jobs, again, it was a challenge. They brought in a third co-host, And they renamed and rebranded the show. So, and just carry on. But again, it's a different thing than it was in the beginning. So that's one model that worked for them. And again, it's what Luke said about what is the pain point?
Not to pay attention, it's time.
For me, it's spending hours and hours at a concert or a festival chasing a musician who says, yeah, buddy, I'd love to do this interview. 90 minutes later, it's not
feasible. I had a podcast, The Closet Geek Show, which is now long faded and I guess de facto dead. But when I started it, it was when I was in university. I had a lot of free time to go find links and music and stuff like that. But when I started working, it became really hard to find all that extra time to do that stuff. So what I did is I just sort of changed the format of the show, so it wasn't, it was only a couple songs, and I picked one or two things to talk about, and then I took my recorder, and I would do my recording walking to work, or home from work, and that worked for like another year or two until it eventually was too much work, and struggled to get out, but for a while it worked, because that idea that you started with doesn't necessarily, or process or whatever, doesn't fit in the context of your life anymore, and you have to switch it or get rid of the show, because otherwise it's untenable. You just can't do it.
And there's easy. It's so much easier now too. I mean, unless you want like some high quality. I mean, as far as like the way it's produced, but I mean, like, you know, there's like Cinch or Audio Boo or whatever. So and those all have feeds, so you can actually feed those into iTunes and actually create a podcast of you just doing audio booths, or just, you know, and it could be like stream of thought walking down the street, you know? I mean, Julian used to do that all the time, although not with that, you know, the walking down the street kind of thing. I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, with Two Boobs and a Baby, our podcast, like we...
You guys tried to retool.
We tried.
Plus and...
Yeah, we tried, but it was like, if we didn't have these babies. we started the show before we had Sam, our firstborn, you know, and then we were like, we got pregnant like 11, they were 11 and a half months apart. So, you know, came fast and furious.
It's like, we don't have time. We wouldn't have had a second.
You know, but I think it was just, for us, it was just like a time thing, you know.
Well, but ultimately, it served a point for communities and one of the pioneering podcasts and couple casts and all those things. But you've got just an incredible family album there.
Well, that's how it started, right? Like for our podcast, it started, we wanted to do like an audio baby book. So just record kind of little conversations about what's been happening. And then, you know, I can't remember how I got down to these guys, but I started listening to...
Nobody
cares. I really don't. I don't remember how I started listening to you guys, but then realized there was this community out there, and it's like, wait, I can take this audio files that I'm recording and put them on iTunes and Podcast Alley. And, you know, and then when I did that, suddenly there was another parenting podcast and USA Today covered, I mean, we were in a story in that, so we had all these people talking to us about it. One thing that I realized is, it took me years. I actually have a blog post in the works that is getting pretty close to being finished about how podcasting, the term itself, is we should just accept it as dead and call it radio, which is what it is. And nowadays, as you consume radio streaming online, I mean, you're consuming real radio. I listen to CBC in Nashville streaming. It's the same. So I listen to like podcasts the same way. I listen to Ken the same way or whatever. But so I'm rambling here. I'm totally going off topic. But, with Two Boobs, I mean, yeah, we just gave up after so much time between episodes.
I've noticed something about this room today, and I guess this discussion went the way I was intending to, but we cleared the room out, except for the veteran, or mostly veteran podcasters. I guess we were serving the need for ourselves, so there was a bit of inside baseball going on, but... on the other hand,
podcasting is all inside baseball.
Yeah, again, it's so valid. I've been trying. I'm doing a history project with my gifted class, there's a national organization of history fairs, Think Science Fair, with historical projects. And we've got Midland's a mural town. Midland has 35 or 36 huge murals. So I took the kids down there, and I'm trying to get even one of the kids to bite and do. I think it would be so cool to have a walking tour of downtown Midland describing the murals. And as soon as it's done, I take it to the Chamber of Commerce and stuff, and we make a fuss. And kids couldn't be interested at all. They really aren't. That's my thing. I think with podcasting, again, you talk about killing the term podcast. But if we have the need for the longer stories, for the longer building and fostering of community, or really rallying a bunch of people around a particular topic or organization or product or sport or whatever, it's a great tool. If we want to put up our baby pictures, do it straight to Facebook. Grandma will be so happy. Do it straight. If you see something weird happen on the street, straight to Audio Boo. It's
I think channels and outlets to, like, 5 years ago, there wasn't, you had to do your own RSS feed and all that kind of crap, and you don't have to bother with that now because there's Facebook, as you say, and all these Audio Boo and all these things that exist to serve those needs, so we don't need to make it ourselves anymore, I guess.
I think it's managing expectations for your listeners too, right? Yeah. So let them know, you know, we're going to take a break, stay subscribed, because we were talking about that earlier, right? Like, you know, every once in a while I'll get a podcast push on my in iTunes of something that, like, I'd subscribed to years ago, and, you know, it's a total surprise that there's a new episode. It's kind of a nice treat.
But also
letting your community know to expect nothing, and maybe something will come. Yeah, but stay subscribed.
I've talked about this before, like, because podcasting is right here, and you've probably used these words, Bob, you or Mark. I'm going to attribute it to you this time. We listen to podcasts right here, right, or inside our head. You guys are the voices in my head. And then there's Ken. But, you know, the people we listen to, there's a very a real sense of intimacy with the people we listen to on podcasts, and a real sense of familiarity, even if we've never met them. That may be true or not, but that's how we access podcasts and the relationship. So just to hear the voices, just to hear these old friends once in a while, just to come here once a year and meet friends that I haven't seen in 9 months, or half of them, that's awesome. It's just maybe that's enough. I don't know.
I wanted to make an observation. This is another musical observation somehow. Just like in the classical music world, you have like trios and quartets that perform. And some of them are incredible, and they have incredible, like, they play together and they get along and everything. But there's a known kind of tradition that they sort of, they split up, and I have to use this word, like, you can't fucking call me for 4 months. They have to take a break, because otherwise they go crazy. So, like, even the most tightly knit group, you know, they travel together, they do everything. But then it's like, let's say from May to September, like, no, like, get out of my life. Like, nobody is upset about that. It's just you need that refresher. So I'm wondering, it's a natural thing. So I'm wondering about this podcasting thing where people think, I have to do it every week, I have to do it. If there's a problem with that, I like your idea. Just, like, do it and then get away from it for a while. Because you need that.
That's what you guys do with the buffets. Is the first, like, after PAB, you were like, hey, we need 2 months off. Right? It was leading up to putting this conference on, and it's a shit ton of work. And you just went, like, I'm going to taste PAB off now.
Yeah, but meanwhile they're editing all the presentations.
But that was always justified.
Like, that's
But everybody's expecting it to come back too, though. After that, right? Okay, they have the break. Now, where are they?
Yeah.
Well, Will and I do. Like, we don't sometimes talk much between shows. Like, sometimes that's half of it. And that's our catch up time. Setting up 10 minutes before the show is us chatting for a while, and then. Like, the odd time there's a couple of emails or something between it, but we have the Google Doc that we throw things into, and other than that, like, half the time I don't do anything, and it's a surprise to me when I go in there and all of a sudden there's all this stuff, and we chat for a while, and he goes, I got this new idea.
Last fall, and you volunteered. Last fall, a new volunteer tried to revive the LibriVox community podcast, and one of the first shows he did was a 6th anniversary episode of the LibriVox community podcast, and he emailed all like 10 former hosts, will you contribute something? So I managed to get on the Skype to England with Jim Mowat. Well, by the time we stopped talking, we had 37 minutes to send to him, and we did, and he used it all over 2 shows. But like, we just sat in that chair, and it was, the magic was back, and we were just there. I wouldn't want to do it every week with him, but it was sure fun. After 4 years.
Mark said it to us before emailed me before a couple of times saying how he's like, when I listen to your stuff, he says, it sounds like it's just the 2 of you sitting around having a beer. I'm like, because it kind of is just the 2 of us sitting around having a beer. That's what we, and that's my, I always keep telling people, like, you're going to get whatever attitude you put in. It's going to sound whatever you put into it. So if you go into it casual, like we're just sitting around, a lot of times it's us just kind of hanging around and, you know, chatting on the phone for a little bit. And it's just that recorded and put it out. Like, it's a little bit of structure there. But, and actually, we've been losing more and more structure as we go, the same as you guys did.
Yeah, we started really strict, like, we had scripts on.
Yeah.
Like radio,
but yeah, like it's part of it is just we're just kind of chatting for a while. Same with the Geek Runner stuff. That all came out of it because we were just kind of, well, we'd started talking a lot about our running and that, and when like we should get this out of the show that everybody's listening to for podcasting stuff and get this into its own thing.
I'm really grateful to have had this conversation. It's been really good for me to just get some closure and get some sense. I really didn't set out to call the gang. Hey, gang, it's time to come together for a board meeting. It was good to hear everybody's perspective on these things. Does anyone have a final comment or question or anything they want to add to the discussion? Or
when's the next buffet?
I think this is it.
This is a step towards it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. You want it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Record.
Okay.
Are you posting your slides?
That's the slide.
You want this? You can have it.
That puts my outline to shame, sir.
Mind mapper.